Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Love Your Music. I'm Margo Joy Denader. I'm a creative coach, singer, songwriter, artist, and the author of the book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am super happy and excited to have Melissa Harding as my guest today. Tune in for a conversation about singing, songwriting, and what you can expect from Melissa as a voice coach. Welcome, Melissa.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat with you.
I'm so excited to have you on as well. Oh my gosh. I'm so glad that I've had the chance to meet you thanks to West Coast Songwriters. That's how we met. And
I was so sad that I missed our manager's meeting yesterday, actually, but I'm so excited. We have the conference coming up and we're going to all be able to connect in person. It's a great organization. I love being a part of it.
Oh, I know. We have, too. Dudley and I, we manage the San Rafael location with Bob Crane, and we started doing that in, we joined in 2014, but we started co-managing in November of 2015. And so, but oh my gosh, the people that we have met, you know, that love music, that sing, that write songs, that, as you do, coach voices, there's just so many different aspects of the music business and also just the joy of music and joy of singing. Just so fantastic to meet so many people that are part of that.
I became involved really just as a young songwriter too, you know, and it was years ago, at least 10 years ago. I can't even remember exactly what year, but probably a similar time to you actually joining, probably 2014 or around there, you know. Same thing for me. I mean, truly, like, you know, meeting people and reconnecting with them down in Los Angeles. I met so many cool people, and so to now be involved as a coach as well is really exciting. You know, I just love the organization and everybody's so kind, and the conference is always a total blast. So I can't wait to be back in person this year. Woohoo!
Yeah, I know. The last 2 years we had the online conferences, and they had that. I always like to look for the good things, what's good about things.
Yeah.
And it was actually pretty interesting doing it that way, and it was kind of cool that they could record the sessions that you might have missed so that you could hear them later. But, you know, there's definitely a huge difference when you get to be in person and get to meet a lot of the people that you've only seen on Zoom or you've only talked to on the phone or sent emails with. So,
it's going to be a party this year. I think it's going to be a big party this year because everybody's just going to be so excited to be back in person. Zoom is great. I agree. Like, we've really been able to stay connected during a pretty tough last couple years, but that excitement for the in-person camaraderie of just being back in the same space, it's different. It's totally different. I just can't wait. I'm like itching to get up there and just hang with the people, you know, just get back together and meet a bunch of new people. It's always a great time. And I'll meet you in person officially.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
Dudley and I will be there. We'll be there. And, it'll be fantastic to meet you in person. And also, so many of the other people. I've been working on doing the layout for the program this year with for Poppy. And, you know, Dudley and I, that's what we do as our day job is graphic design and photography. So it's been fun putting it together. And so because of that, I'm so aware of all the different workshops and one-on-ones and all the different people that are going to be there. And I just wanted to mention so that people, if they're interested, they can go. They can find out more about it at westcoastsongwriters.org. And also the conference is going to be September 10th, down in Redwood City. So, Yeah, and you're going to be moderating the opening panel, which will be really cool.
Yeah, which I've never done before. I'm excited to do that. And then I'm going to be hosting a performance prep workshop that's really just, you know, talking to singers and artists of all kinds about how we prepare, you know, to either get on stage and do a performance or to get into the studio, which is a completely different experience than if you're going to be singing live, you know. So I like to talk to my students about this kind of stuff as we work together. And I have students, you know, as a vocal coach, I have students that sing all different styles. So it's one thing for me to be working with a rock singer and helping them prepare, and it's a completely different thing to be working with a musical theater singer that's going to an audition, and like, how do they prepare? We're all different, right? So it's, I'm really excited to do that, because I think people sometimes don't realize all the things they can do to just really get in tune with their body and really feel in control of their voice. And so I'm excited to do that workshop. It'll be fun to see who comes in and see who I can work with and help.
Oh, it sounds fantastic. I hope we're going to be able to go to that workshop, because we're volunteering for so many different things. But
I know,
that,
right?
That will be available during that.
Gotta keep you busy.
Yeah. But it's fun too, you know. And I am. That's one of the things I'm most glad that we've done, is joined West Coast Songwriters and stayed with it, and you know, just met so many people. Everybody from like the beginners that just want to write their first song all the way up through pro level people, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And everybody, like you said, has been so kind and so helpful. So I like to say
loving,
kind, and creative. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a humbling thing, I think. For me, it's always very humbling to just be in a room of that many creative people, and just to realize that we're all there for the same reason, because this is something that brings us joy. It's something we want to get better at. And we all come from different worlds. Like you just said, we all come from completely different worlds. And I think that's one of the best ways to learn, is just to be in the room with people that maybe aren't in the same world as you, but you can still learn from them. You can learn from what they're working on, the way
mm-hmm.
that they're getting notes and receiving notes. You know, it's all learning for all of us. And I love that aspect of it too. Just people in different levels, different times in their learning. And it's just such a good experience each year, every year.
Yeah, it always has been for us as well. Wow. Well, and you're also, as you said, the manager of the LA West Coast Songwriters.
Yeah.
And you're doing a monthly open mic at, what's the name of that place that you're doing now?
It's called Genghis Cohen. It's a really cool spot here in L.A., and West Coast Songwriters has been connected there actually for quite a long time. They took a few years off during
mm-hmm.
the pandemic, of course, but I just signed up. So I'm a new manager for West Coast Songwriters. This is brand new for me, and we launched
mm-hmm.
our open mic a couple months ago. This is like our fourth month going in. We actually do not have a September event, but we'll be back every month after that. So it's always the last Sunday of the month, and it's been great. It's been a fantastic place to just get up and play. The room always sounds fantastic. Our sound guy, George, is the best. And Genghis Cohen's a funky place. It's a Chinese restaurant slash
uh-huh.
music venue. So it's kind of odd, but it's also awesome. It's a really great venue and really great food, and we love going there. So we're excited to be back there this weekend.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. I wish we were closer so that we could go. We're up in Marin.
I know.
And you're,
just
yeah.
hop on over.
yeah. But our son lives down in Burbank, and we need to get down and visit him. Trying to coordinate it, though, where it's the last Sunday would be maybe a challenge. But, yeah.
Yes,
can,
of course.
Be great. You know what's super funny, though, is where we do our live ones in San Rafael is Yet Wah, and it's a really fun Chinese restaurant that has good
How
food.
How funny,
it's
you know,
really
what are the odds?
A fun,
what are
fun
the odds?
Location.
I said, what are the odds that would be the case, too, up there as well as down here in L.A.?
Oh, I know. It's so funny. Well, okay, so let's get to talking about coaching, vocal coaching.
Yeah, please.
And so how long have you been coaching voice?
You know, it's an interesting answer, because I came to Los Angeles when I was 18 years old, and I, for 10 years about in my childhood, I had grown up in a children's theater company in Northern California that was out of Walnut Creek. And when I came down to Los Angeles, the director of that theater company, who was kind of a funny, crazy guy, Eddie Belasco was his name, and he called me. He was an older Italian guy, and he said, "Hey, Melissa, my daughter's opening a company, and I want you to vocal direct for her." And I was 18. You know, I had just moved to Los Angeles, and his daughter started the Southern California branch of that children's theater company. And I went and met with her and just started vocal directing her company right away when I was 18. So through this children's theater company, I developed a reputation being a vocal coach. A lot of the students that were in the company, they just saw my passion, I think, for musical theater and just voice in general. And they started asking me, but can you work with me privately? And I was kind of like, well, I don't know. Can I? Like, am I trained enough? In my own background, I had already been training classically in voice through my whole teenage experience. You know, all through mm-hmm. high school, I was training in classical voice and singing opera and musical theater. So my training was there, but I had a lot to learn. And mm-hmm. I just started coaching at 18, and I kept training myself. And so, interestingly, becoming a vocal coach young and being asked to do that and just stepping into those shoes, it just made me more hungry for vocal technique. And as a professional singer myself, I've had vocal issues from time to time. I've had to really study to figure out not only how to guide myself to have a successful career, but also if people keep asking me to train them, like, I better take this seriously and know how to do what I'm doing and being asked to do. And so I just really explored voice. I really started exploring, you know, different styles, and that really became my specialty. And that's what I say almost 20 years later. I'm in my late 30s almost now, and I've been studying a long time. I've been doing this a long time, and that's my specialty is vocal style and health, how to keep your voice healthy, singing whatever style you want to sing. And that's really what it's developed into for me. And I love it. I love it. I love working with other singers. It's very inspiring, and mm-hmm. I love watching them grow and learn and figure things out about their instrument. And I always say it, but voice is the hardest instrument to play. I will fight anyone who disagrees. It is the hardest instrument in the world to play. It is in your body. It is. We cannot change the strings on it. You know, it's a very tough thing to learn to do. So if you really want to take it seriously, there's a lot to learn, you know, and that's yeah. kind of what I've found through my own experience, not only as a singer, but in becoming a coach, you know, and doing that professionally.
Yeah, you made me laugh, that thing about you can't change the strings.
You cannot. You can severely damage your strings, but you can't change them, you know. And I think it's funny because singers, you know, when I was on tour, you know, I remember the guys in my band, they were like, man, you guys do a lot of stuff for your voice. And it's like, well, yeah, because we don't take our instrument out of a case, right? Like, it doesn't come out of a case. We mm-hmm. carry it around with us. So if we have bad sleep, that affects that instrument. You know, mm-hmm. Everything does, your behavior does. So voice is it's an interesting thing. You have to really, you know, when you're a professional singer, it becomes so much of your life, like, revolves around that instrument. You know, when I tour, I have to think constantly about what my voice needs from me, you know? So it mm-hmm. is an interesting thing to kind of get deep into singing, because it is a lot to think about, you know?
Yeah, it's really true. And, you know, voice coaches are so important. I had wanted to sing when I was 12 years old. I was singing all the time, and I overheard my grandmother say to my mom, this is my dad's mom, that I should forget about singing. And I thought she meant that I had a terrible voice. And
right,
here this was
right.
something that gave me the most joy and that I
right.
just loved to do. And I did all the time. And my parents encouraged me, and nobody else had discouraged me. But she was always so definite about what she thought. And she wanted
right.
me to be an artist and paint paintings like she did. So, you know, which I do. I enjoy art, but not painting. I don't, you know, I like creativity a lot.
Right.
But, you know, then I ended up marrying Dudley, and he'd been a professional musician for a while during his life. And, you know, he was singing all the time, and I just didn't feel I could sing with him. And then, you know, our son was born in 1990, and when he was 3, Melissa, I was driving
yeah.
around in the car with him with the Aladdin soundtrack on, you know, and he's learning
mm-hmm.
to sing the song, and he's going, Mommy, you sing Jasmine's part. And I'm going, oh, no, I can't do that. And then I thought, you know, he doesn't care if he makes a mistake. Why not? You know,
right.
So I just started singing with him in the car. And then eventually one time we were in the car with Dudley and he's like, Mommy, sing Aladdin or Jasmine's part. I'll do Aladdin's part for Whole New World. And I was so scared. And you're right. I mean, it's like when you're scared, it's like that's the hardest time to sing.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
That's so true. And the thing is about it, I say this so often when somebody comes into lessons, but this is not just a physical thing. It's a mental thing. And half
right.
of singing is a mental game. It's a mental game of being able to hone in on what you need to do. So in that moment in the car, singing Jasmine, it's like what I would always tell people, and you know what's interesting? I had a student actually audition for the Aladdin film for Jasmine,
uh-huh.
the new one that they made that was live action. She auditioned for Jasmine.
Oh, yeah, like with Will Smith,
she was,
I think.
Yep. And she wasn't a singer, actually. She was an actress, but she fit
uh-huh.
the part, and they called her in, and she said, can I sing this? And I said, you got to get into the headspace. It's trying to start figuring out, you know, with singing, it's so about the story, right? Whatever story we're telling, whether
mm-hmm.
you're Jasmine and you're singing A Whole New World or Joni Mitchell singing one of her songs or whoever, there's a story, and that's what we need to be tapping into. And the fear prevents us from telling the story. You know what I mean? Like, that's the
yeah.
thing. It's like when we get
yeah.
scared, we get in our head, and now we're singing about our singing. And I always say to students, nobody wants to watch a singer sing about singing. They want to watch a singer tell a story. They don't want to watch a singer obsess about their own voice. Does it make sense? It's so interesting
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, that totally makes
storytelling
sense.
Storytelling is what's key. So it's like we might worry, but, you know, in that moment, your son just wants to hear your – it just wants you to play and have fun. And that's what
right.
it is. It is having fun. It's telling the story and not getting caught up, you know, in how we sound,
yeah.
whether it sounds good, you know.
Yeah, well, I ended up having to look out the window. I was in the passenger seat and Dudley's driving and Xander's in the back seat. I had to look out the window to do it, but I did it. And Dudley goes, wow, you sounded pretty good.
Hell yeah. You're like, yay. That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, but it wasn't until like 2007 when, fast forward, and Dudley and Xander had been recording songs with Robert Berry, a friend of mine from college, that I've been to every recording session for all their songs. But anyway, I've been watching these guys sing their songs, then they're doing all these live events that they were performing, and I was so jealous. I finally decided I was going to take singing lessons, so I took singing lessons
ah.
with a woman here in Marin named Lenora Black, and she said, yeah, you're a coloratura soprano, but you need to learn how to breathe. You need to practice a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I've been practicing ever since. So, yeah, joining West Coast Songwriters for me was like this, like, whoa.
Yeah.
I loved being in it, and Bob Crane was so kind. He was like, at the beginning, he's like, Margo, you don't have to worry about this. This isn't The Voice.
Right,
songwriters.
Right.
And some of the people can sing well, and some of the people don't sing quite as well, but they have good songs, you know, so.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know what? The other thing about it is, like, who's to say, and this is the other thing, there's no rule. Like, who's to say who's good and bad? There are so many singers who've been told they don't have nice voices. But if they were to have stopped because they didn't have a, quote, pretty voice, maybe they wouldn't be who they are right now, you know. And I always, like, somebody who always comes to mind right away is Bob Dylan. There's a lot
mm-hmm.
of people who would say that's not a pretty voice. One of my favorite singers and songwriters growing up, my first concert ever was Neil Diamond at 7 years old. And, like,
oh,
that's
yeah,
not
Neil
the
Diamond.
Most beautiful voice, right? Like,
uh-huh.
like how he sings, it's like not the prettiest sound. You
uh-huh.
know, like, I'm a believer. Like, it's kind of raspy. And there's a lot of character, though. There's a character there. There's something interesting about the sound of that voice because it's an emotional voice. Like, I'll
right.
never forget hearing the song, I think it's one of his greatest songs ever, but Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon. And there's a great line
oh,
in the
yeah.
song where he says, I've been misunderstood for all of my life, but what they're saying, child, cuts like a knife. And it's like how he says it is what matters. It's the way he's saying it. It's the drama of that story. And it's him being so utterly honest about how painful that is, being told that you're not good enough to date my daughter. But girl, you'll be a woman soon. Don't leave me, though. You're going to be strong. And you know what I mean? Like, that's what it's about. It's the storytelling. So Neil Diamond can get me crying in, like, 2 seconds. He's always been one of my favorite singers. But to say that he's not a good singer because his voice isn't pretty, to me, is just utter BS. It's about owning what your voice gives. It's about owning the sound you make and how you use that sound to tell stories. And, you know, like, that's different for everybody. If I'm an opera singer, it's completely different than if I'm a rock singer. So, like, how we are choosing to use the instrument can be very different in the way we express our stories. And that even goes for just pop music in general, whether it's pop or R&B or rock or alternative. It's like all these singers are doing completely different things with their voices. And like Taylor Swift, I always use her as a great example of a brilliant songwriter who does not have the showiest voice in the business. She's not Celine Dion. She's not Kelly Clarkson. She's not Whitney Houston. But girl can sing, and girl can tell a story just as well as anyone else in the pop industry, if not better. It's not about doing vocal gymnastics. You know what I mean? That's the thing. I think some people get caught up in that. But it's not what makes you a good singer. It's about being emotional and being expressive.
Yeah. And when, you know, the first person that came to mind when you were saying that about the raspy voices, though, is Rod Stewart.
Rod Stewart.
I remember having his albums when I was working in the record stores back in the mid-70s down in San Jose, actually, in Los Campbell, and then going to see him live. But yeah, I mean, he was just fun to watch. He was doing it his own way, and I mean, he wouldn't be him if he tried to have a pretty voice. So
or if he tried to manipulate his sound. I think that's the thing, and some people do get caught up in that. And certainly during lessons, you know, I talk to students about that all the time. It's great. There's a great lesson that can be learned from imitating other singers, but we've got to figure out what our voice does well. And that's the one thing about artists is nobody told Michael Jackson or Bruno Mars or Taylor Swift or whoever how to sing like they're singing. They just did, you know, they just did it. They just started using their voice and they figured out what their voice did well. And they figured out how to translate that into the songs they wanted to write. You know, and that's what it's about. It's that organic connection of those things, not trying to, what is the word I want to say, contrive it, but trying to just find what's organic, not contrived, organic. You know, that's super important for singers, for sure. And you need the coach. I want to say that as a vocal coach, like you need the right coach. If you're not interested in studying classically, you should not be training with a classical voice teacher, that's their main focus. You got to find somebody who is able to guide you in the direction you want to go. I love my vocal coach I grew up with, who's in Northern California, and she's brilliant, out of Walnut Creek, Lucia Scardino, and she taught me classical voice and musical theater. And then when I came to Los Angeles, I studied with a different coach that specialized in pop and rock, and that's what I needed next. I needed somebody who could talk to me about other styles. So, you know, you got to search for the right coach, I will say, that will guide you towards the things you want to be able to do and play with. So, anyway, I just want to throw that in.
Yeah, that sounds like really, really good, wise advice. You know, Dudley handed me a post-it asking me to ask you a question. He says, for a male voice, a vocalist, what is the best way to practice the transition from regular voice to falsetto?
Ooh, well, I'm going to say to Dudley, this is true for all of us in general. It's different for men than it is for women, maybe, but we have to do that, ladies, too. And it's this idea of just bridging and figuring out how they connect. In terms of our volume and our connection in our vocal cords, a lot of times singers are trying really hard to bring their lower register, their chest voice, that same volume up, 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 higher, higher, higher. And the reality is, as we go higher, our breath changes. The way that our vocal cords stretch changes, right? We use less air the higher we go. That's the interesting thing. So people tend to fear high notes, right? And there's a big break in the falsetto, but really what you want to do so that you can strengthen how you move from your lower range into your falsetto is vocalize in a way that you're not treating them differently. And this is a lot of what I focus on with my own students when we work together. I give them exercises, and I'm literally telling them, you should be singing the lower version of this exercise very similar in volume and placement to what you bring up, which means you have to really adjust how you're approaching certain notes. It's really interesting, but the voice responds to simplicity. When we're singing and performing, we're interpreting. So a lot of times we're doing bigger things. But when we vocalize, when we work our vocal cords, when we exercise them, we want to exercise them with balance. We want to start learning how to balance our volume and the strength that we're using our cords all the way through our range. A lot of teachers call this speech level singing. You know, in musical theater, to be honest, it's the way that we approach a lot of material. You know, if I'm in Wicked and I'm, you know, playing Glinda in Wicked and I go to sing, it's like you're not really going to hear the distinct changes between falsetto to mix and belt. In that world, we have to learn to speak all the way through our range. But the power of learning to strengthen all the way up and down is that then you start learning how to summon those things when you want them. You can sing falsetto on your low notes as well. So how do I learn to sing falsetto everywhere? In classical voice, by the way, women, you know, we don't belt a lot in classical voice. So I would bring my a very strong falsetto down. So I would, but that's not a full belt, right? Like I can really change the volume.
Yeah.
Depending on how I'm asking my voice to be used. So in pop music, for example, you'll hear singers sing one note, oh, and it's falsetto, and then all of a sudden they're singing the same note, oh, and it's stronger. Those deliberate changes are you, as the singer, knowing the difference in each position. What's my falsetto? What's the mix? What's a belt? They're different positions in the vocal cords. So when you vocalize, Dudley, you've got to figure out where the discrepancies in volume are. When we have a big break, it's generally because that note right before we approach our falsetto is too heavy. We're not figuring out how to lighten the volume and bridge that gap in a graceful way so that then we can really control when we're using what. Does this make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, it totally does.
Answer, but it's hard to explain simply.
It does, but you know what? We have less than 2 minutes left.
Oh, my gosh, we're running out of time.
I know, we're running out of time. Anyway, melissahardingmusic.com is your website, and people can also find you on Instagram as well. Oh, Melissa,
yes,
and come to the conference. They can come to the conference, too. So we have a little over a minute left while we're live, and then we're going to get cut off. So what do you want to tell our listeners? One last thing. It's got to be quick.
Yeah, I mean, I would tell the listeners, find me on Instagram at Melissa K. Harding. That's my personal, and at Melissa Harding Voice if you want to come study singing with me. I give away lots of free tips online, and you can also sign up to have a free consultation with me on my website, a free 30-minute consultation. So anyone listening that is interested in voice, I would love to meet you and see if I'm the right fit for you as a coach.
Oh,
so that's all.
That sounds fantastic. Oh, thank you, Melissa, for being on my show, but also for living your music and all of the ways that you're doing it and for helping so many other people to do it as well.
I appreciate that. It's been such a nice time talking to you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I just lost my train of thought because Dudley just peeked in. He wants you as his coach, he says.
Please.
I have to say, I think
it.
I do too. Yeah. So.
Yay!
Anyway, I ummed way too many times. Everyone out there, whatever your music is, please live your music. Bye for now, Melissa. Bye for now, everybody.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye.